any bands playing the Point Depot, it was standard that they'd all come down and have their parties in Lily's afterwards. All the film industry at the time, you'd have had Neil Jordan, Jim Sheridan, any key parties in Dublin, always the afters were in Lily's.
Probably became the, I think, the kind of biggest club brand in the country.
In the height of it, I think what you had was, you know, you had lots of DJs. You literally play all over the world, week in, week out, all year round, and probably once a year they come to Dublin to play a show. And for most of these bigger guys, that show would be in District 8.
A typical weekend or a typical Saturday night in Coppers, you know, you have people coming up and down the street from all the different venues and different areas, you know, queuing up, can't wait to get in, meet their friends, eagerly waiting in line to get in. And as soon as they're in the door, then their hair is down and they're off, dancing away out on the floor. With the size of the venue, I suppose, it's, you can get lost easily in the place if you want to get lost. You don't have to go home with the person you came in with.
We were swimming in venues. We had venues all over the place. The choice was there. Funny, the thing was it never seemed like we had enough venues, but that's always the way. No city is ever perfect. But looking back on it, we had more than enough then.
Us Irish are known around the world for being up for a good time, having the crack, enjoying a laugh, and going on a good session. And when we most like to do that is the weekend. So it's no surprise we have pubs, clubs, venues and theatres, all with one purpose, to entertain. But recently in Dublin, a number of these have closed their doors, and it begs the question as to why. Is it a property matter? Is there a shift in nightlife culture? Or are we just not partying like we used to? To give us an idea of the kind of nights that were once seen in the capital, I spoke to a woman who's welcomed many faces for a night on the town.
My name is Valerie Rowe. I was the general manager in Lily's for 13 years, about 4,000 nights, I think, on the door of Lily's. I think that we were probably the only club that appeared in the likes of Elle magazine and Vogue magazine and all of those kind of magazines as the place to go to in Dublin. In fact, in Europe, I think it was one of the number one clubs in the world at one particular, you know, point in time. We've had so many standout nights. We had the Rolling Stones had their end of tour party, and they were, Julie Roberts came in on the night, and Aidan Quinn, and there was Brad Pitt, and they were all upstairs in the piano bar when Paul Harrington was playing. So when you walked into that room, it was just wall to wall with that kind of calibre person. You two were great supporters of the club. We always kept a table for them 7 nights a week in case they came down, and the table stayed empty if they didn't come down. They were fantastic regulars. Puff Daddy would have had his after party there. Prince Albert of Monaco came. There was just so many people. I can't think of half the names. I suppose Lily's was created all those years ago. I think they were like catering for a niche in the market. At the time, we would have had a real eclectic mix of people coming in. Everyone kind of in the music industry, fashion industry, film industry. We'd have a lot of corporate members and ordinary Joe Soaps coming in the door as well. The criteria for getting in, people kind of said, like, what's the door policy? There was no door policy. There was no age, anything from 18 to 90. We didn't have an age policy. There was no dress code particularly. It was just that people that would fit in with the club, comfortable in their own skin, wouldn't go over annoying people looking for autographs. And that was the kind of mix of people that we would have had there. Special pass to get your ass in the back
room. From princes to rock stars, the glitz and glamour of Lily's Bordello is no more. The popular VIP venue just off Grafton Street had its last night at the start of the year. Another legendary night spot closed down in January, the Tivoli Theatre, which was home to Club Night District 8. Known for packed out performances and drawing big names, it's one more place that is no more. To find out the scale of this club, I caught up with one of the guys behind it.
My name is Martin Smith. I would be one of the promoters behind District 8. And District 8 is a club brand that operated out of the Tivoli on Francis Street for nearly 5 years until the building finished up there at the end of January. You know, it started off with a few kind of pop-up shows to see where it went, and quickly grew to doing about 70 to 80 shows a year. You know, for that sector of music and dance music, it just had the big names, you know, week in, week out. You know, there could be a list of them, from Patrick Topping, Alan Fitzpatrick, Jeff Mills, Groove Armada, Too Many DJs, Amelie Lenz. You know, the list is endless. And, you know, people who don't, you know, who are outside of this scene, you know, will never really understand the anticipation
people had standing in that queue, getting ready to go in and see these DJs that are here for the, you know, for the one time only this year, and how long they've been planning that night with their friends to get into this venue, and for 3 or 4 hours just completely lose themselves and just be immersed in the music and the scene and the atmosphere. And that's what makes people tick. And that's what District 8 was about.
The weekend has landed. All that exists now is clubs, pubs and parties. I've got 48 hours off from the world, man. I'm gonna lose the plot on the dance floor. The free radicals inside me are freaking, man. Tonight I'm Gyp Travolta, I'm Peter Popper. I'm going to Never Neverland with my chosen family, man.
Get lost in the music and the atmosphere and the people you're around, the people you're meeting, and, you know, you see some of the same faces and you get pally with them, and, you know, friendships, relationships, you know, they can all kind of be spawned in a place like that, you know. I think from an economical sense, you know, it was a big business. It employed a lot of people, security, bar staff, managers, you know, people like myself, promoters, junior promoters, lighting engineers, sound engineers, stage managers. You know, it was a big business in that sense. So I think sometimes that's something that people overlook when they think about dance music. You know, they forget that it's business as well, you know.
Two spots that are no longer open for people to lose themselves from normality, but that feel exactly like home. Lily's offered the shiny bubbles, and District 8 gave crowds an electric experience. One place that is still seeing queues out the door, it's known the length and breadth of the country, and has even had a musical made about it. The most popular nightclub in Ireland celebrated 23 years in business, the same time we lost the rest.
Darren Power, I'm the general manager. Copperface Jacks, I'm here since we opened in February 1996, 23 years. I suppose we're probably known as a country club in the city. Initially, I suppose we're known as that, or thought of as that. A lot of people living and working in Dublin that were from the country, and word of mouth spread back in the day when there was no Twitter or Instagram, and it was all word of mouth, and sisters and brothers passing it on to their sisters and brothers coming up after them. Over the years then, I suppose, with the GAA in particular, but also a lot of other sports, we got kind of known as a place for people to go out and celebrate or commiserate, whatever the case may be, after different nights and different games. Best nights of the year would be the All-Ireland finals, football and hurling. I suppose, yeah, it's part of the pilgrimage, I suppose, Crow Park, Coppers afterwards.
Hip, hip. See you on the Coppers! Yeah!
You'd bump into anybody, I suppose, in this place, your neighbour from home that you haven't seen for years, and old schoolmates, that kind of thing, and they're the nights that people remember. We've DJs here for the last 22 years, same two guys amongst our DJ team. It might be cheesy, but it's constant. We're in the kind of the nighttime district of Dublin, so we're well surrounded by other bars and clubs and restaurants, so it's a great feeder area for people coming into this part of town. It's a short walk to from one end to the other, you know, which is great because they can start the night at one end of the street and end up at finish it at the other end of the street.
Lily's, District 8 and Coppers all supplied something different, but they're all part of the same nighttime economy. With more clubs closing than opening, but a thirsty demand still there, I wanted to find out why we've seen so many spots shut down. And I wasn't the only one asking this question. One group are holding meetings across the country, campaigning for better nightlife in Ireland.
My name is Sunil Sharp. I'm one of the founders of Give Us the Night. In general, my involvement in music is, I guess, kind of far-reaching in that I've been involved in many different aspects of it, from making music, from playing music, to putting on events, to teaching, I guess, with this, a form of activism as well. Give Us a Night is a volunteer group of individuals operating within the nighttime industry. So we're pretty much got our roots in the clubbing scene. So we're DJs, producers, musicians, promoters, anyone that has an interest in bringing the culture of nightlife forward. It initially started in the mid-2000s. We've tended to come back when we're needed. We've loads of aims. We've many, many aims. We don't expect them all to happen overnight, but we think it should start with a proper examination of our licensing laws. We've already done it. Plenty of other people have done it, but the government need to do it now. and add a little bit more flexibility. I don't expect that there'll be far-reaching licensing changes straight away when they do decide to change some things, but certainly to give a little bit more freedom and flexibility to late-night businesses so that they can operate at a time that suits them rather than having this blanket time imposed on them. That is a big problem, and certainly with smaller venues as well, that has been why we've lost so many of them, because if you're a specialist music venue, for instance, you really do rely on those extra hours. What we'd really like to see is that there's a distinction made between late night music venues and bars. That is where music venues have really struggled and why so many have gone into liquidation and closed, why some of these businesses just aren't around anymore, because they couldn't keep up with the pressure that was put on them by everybody going to a bar, first of all, and staying there, and then not going to the venue afterwards. And, you know, a lot of people do go out to only drink. There's a lot of people, though, that go out to have a drink and also to dance. But if you're comfortable in a bar, you might just stay there. And that's something that changed a lot in the early 2000s, is that there was a chance when they were giving late bars those extra couple of hours to also give an overlap of a couple of hours to clubs or to late night music venues. They didn't do that. That was a missed opportunity. And since then, we've seen a steady decline for venues. We estimated that roughly half of music venues haven't shut in the last 10 years.
There's no denying that there has been a drop in what we know as nightclubs. But just in the last year, we've had Lily's, District 8, The Right Venue, Club 92 and Hangar, all dance floors that will just become memories. Has there been a change in what people look for on a night out? I know that over the years I've changed what I enjoy. When I first started putting on a shirt and gelling the hair, it was all about the nightclub. Now I'd much prefer a red carpet pub with a bit of character. But why all of a sudden are we seeing this big shift? What's causing these places to close?
The late bars definitely affected all of us. We had a cover charge in, or you might have to pay for membership. The thing that we had in our favour was obviously they knew there's going to be lots of celebrities in the club, so people always want to know and always want to see celebrities. So we had that pulling power, I suppose. Other clubs wouldn't have had that. And there were, like, I think most of them were €20 in at the time, and then bars started going late. There was no cover charge. They were putting DJs in. You know, you could drink late. So it did start to affect the business. And I suppose nowadays now, bars are going to all hours, so nightclubs don't stand a chance.
One of the reasons we started District 8 was because we felt there was an appetite for bigger shows. We felt that there was, you know, a growth in the dance music kind of scene in Dublin. And we kind of stepped in, we seen that change, and we took on District 8. And then, but I suppose the downside of that was the kind of smaller and medium clubs. Like, I think they felt that. I think the whole scene became very act-driven. It was almost like, you know, just one concert after another, rather than, you know, clubbing as an experience for going somewhere for the club, for the sound system, for the resident DJs. That kind of, I wouldn't say was no more, but definitely dwindled.
Trends have changed. They want to experience different things, you know, follow different cultures, follow different habits. And if it's a European influence, if it's American, English influence, whatever it is, it happens. Over the years, there'll be different trends coming and going. So I suppose that's the turn of that now. People are looking for, you know, maybe they're staying at home later, coming out later, going home earlier. There's a bit of everything. You know, a lot of places do food as part of their offering now, and have a bit of a bar as well attached to it. If that's the trend at the moment, or people are going to try it, because, you know, everybody wants to do what's modern and what's trendy. They like that idea, I suppose, of staying in bars. They don't want to go out dancing, particularly during the week, I suppose. You never go out with the intention of going out.
It's very unfortunate, because there was actually a spike a few years ago where clubbing was really coming back, and there was a new generation that were going out, and some of these collectives as well were running their own nights. We're knocking down our best venues. These venues involve so many different people across the creative arts, and to actually get rid of them with no provision for anything to replace them, it's scandalous, it's a disgrace, it's an absolute disgrace. And what we're seeing right now is an acceleration of this happening very, very fast. You see it happen in other cities like Berlin or London, all over the place. But because we're a small capital city in Dublin, for instance, it's happening so, so fast.
You don't hear of any of the bands like playing in the Three Arena going out anywhere afterwards. There is nowhere for them to go that they feel safe. Now, in fairness, the current climate is there's mobile phones everywhere, so people can take pictures everywhere. In Lily's, when we were there, we were lucky we didn't have to worry about that. And if anybody took out a camera, they were barred instantly. So it's funny, people are kind of going, looking back over the years of Lily's, they're going, there's no photographs, because there's no documented evidence of anything that went on, which is probably great for most of the kind of crowd from Dublin who frequented the club at the time.
I think it's like a lot of things, it's down to property and space, really. Well, the District 8 experience and the Hangar experience definitely is. It's not like those clubs weren't busy. You know, like, I could tell you one thing now, District 8 was busy. It was busier than ever. We could have kept it busy, no problem. You know, a lot of people now that don't have a job and have to go looking for new jobs because that's gone.
They're all their own kind of models that they operated off, and maybe they just saw that that was as much as they could give to the industry, maybe. Location of some of them, maybe, like, you know, the thoroughfare isn't there, probably, you know, it's at least in the city centre, everything's in a walking distance, where if you have to travel, when you have such an offering in one area, it's hard for to convince a lot of people to go to another area that there isn't, you know, maybe there's a bit of that.
Some venue owners are just taking the money. They're being offered a sizable amount of millions for their venues. And when it's so prohibitively difficult to run a venue and make money at it now, insurance was something that a lot of venues have mentioned to us as well. We often mentioned the special exemption order costs, which were particularly difficult for smaller venues, but insurance costs as well. Insurance has gone up a lot as well for venues, so it's become very, very, very difficult.
Late bars, property development, insurance, and a change of what people are looking for. Just some of the reasons given by those working in the industry. But to find out what people really think of Dublin nightlife and what they want when they go on the lash, I hit the streets.
Yeah, I like Dublin nightlife. I prefer going to clubs so than like bars, like staying out like later a little bit and like a bit of music and all that crack.
It's all right, like, but there is a lot of places closing down. There's nothing kind of left. Like, there's no like good places other than like techno and kind of stuff like that. And when you do go to techno places, everybody is in the out ahead.
I suppose somewhere with a good atmosphere, good music, nice age group of people as well, because generally I'm 34 this year, so when I go out I feel a little bit older than some of the crowd, you know, that's there. I feel a bit, I'm catching on, you know.
It was better, it's getting worse. There's a lot of things being shut down recently, like the right venue, Hangar, District 8.
Definitely a bar with like good music. Like, not a nightclub.
Personally, I'd rather just kind of a late bar. Like, nightclub wouldn't really be my scene. I just, like, get chatting to people and stuff like that. You know, everyone out is kind of really loud, kind of headbanging stuff.
I think what you miss here, which you might get in other places, is that, like, I think when you go abroad, there's more of a focus on, like, kind of chatting and outdoor areas. And I think the problem here is you have to pay in. You pay a tenner in. Once you've paid in, you don't want to leave again.
Definitely, it's very easy to, like, go to the same places kind of continuously, like, week in, week out. And it's kind of difficult to find something new. It's quite sad as well. A lot of, like, some of the really good clubs have closed down as well in, like, the last year or two. So I think the selection is getting smaller.
Some like the clubs, some like the late bars. But there is one thing a lot agree on. That there's less options. So what do we do? Swap the rave hat for the bowl of nuts, lose the wrist stamp for the high stool. Where do we go from here?
I think we're missing out. I really think that Dublin needs to have the foresight to do something. And I think they clean up. I mean, when you look at the corporates for the moment, at the moment we've got Facebook and Google and LinkedIn and all these businesses are in Dublin. We had a really strong corporate membership in Lily's with all the banks and stuff. So if somebody was smart, they could take up where we left off. You know, all of the actors used to park themselves in Lily's for their duration, their 3-month stint, are now just staying in local bars because they have nowhere to go. So that whole industry is still there and still to be catered for, but nobody's catering for it.
What are people looking for? People are looking to be entertained. That's all anybody really wants, is to be entertained. What shape or form that will take obviously would depend on the person. For me and my partners as club promoters and many other things, I want to provide big club shows, and I'm very confident I have a place to do it. You know, I want to bring the best and biggest acts to Ireland, and for people who want to go and see them, to go and see them in a safe and enjoyable environment. And I'll be doing loads of shows with acts people have never heard of in smaller venues, because I think the acts are great and I want to bring them through. And you know, we'll be running the bar and we'll hopefully be running other bars and stuff like that.
People still want to dance. People still want to be entertained. Everybody will, you know, it's not all about, you know, being out drinking all the time. Like, people do want to have a dance or let the hair down. If it's an occasion or, you know, you get a lot of even hens and stags coming over to Dublin, coming up to Dublin from the country, groups, birthday parties, the whole lot. Like, people still want to end up on a dance floor. If we were, we would have been changing already. You know what I mean? There's enough trends come and gone. Now we stick to what we know. People like, and you know, well, we know we're kind of good at, we hope we're good at.
Change happens all the time, you know, it doesn't happen as regularly as we need sometimes, but change does happen. And now with things being the way they are, people are depressed, people are negative about where we're at and are a bit sad about losing some of these venues. But I believe we've now reached the end of an era. We've reached an end of an era of the old school nightclub era, let's say. Certainly with having lost so many of our well-known nightclubs in the suburbs and also our more well-known mainstream nightclubs as well, like Lily's and Club 92, etc. That old guard of the nightclub industry or establishments, that's gone now.
If I won the Euro Millions, I would probably go back in as a consultant and I would train up people in our ethos and our ways of doing things, and I think it'd fly. If you went in somewhere and they knew you on the front door and said, hi, how are you doing? You're very welcome. I know the table that you like, go upstairs. We have that table kept for you. You've got service at your table. It's all of that, to me, is missing.
Maybe it's time to kind of sit back and refresh and rethink things. And I'm adamant what we do needs to be, you know, bigger and better. I didn't just wake up one day and decide that, oh, I'm going to be a big promoter and I'm going to put on big shows and all these little shows aren't going to happen. It didn't work like that. Like the market, people decided that they want to go and see big shows in a big room, and I cater to that, you know, and I do it again tomorrow, you know, because I just want to provide entertainment.
You look at Camden Street, Harcourt Street, you could probably name 5-6 different types of bars, clubs, styles of music, atmospheres in different places. The more choice a customer has, you know, it's logical that more customers then will flock into the area. You can't have enough choice really out there for people to go out, because it just means that more of them will go out more often, you know. That's the name of the game, I suppose.
Certainly multi-use spaces are something that everybody is talking about, because this can actually make everybody happy in an area, because they can be used during the day and then they can turn into an area for live music events or late night music events, for other kind of theatrical performances, whatever it might be. We desperately need somebody to look after and to oversee nightlife in each of our cities or our major urban centres. We need somebody installed into that position in all of our cities now who will oversee this and make nightlife more exciting, more vibrant, and will influence change.
So there you have it. Home Time, Last Orders, a glimpse into Dublin's nightlife. There's a changing scene happening, but it's not the end of our Saturday nights. The era of dance halls moved on, the warehouse raves became clubs, and now drinks are being decided by the shape of their glass. With Valerie, Martin, Darren and Sunil giving us an insight into what's needed to make nights thrive, all you gotta do is dance.
The Last Dance on 98FM.